Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the highest cedar and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty and power and wisdom. And Father, we ask you to hide us behind the cross this morning, that we might preach with the power of God, and that not just be words from one sinner to another, but it might in reality be the Word of God to a needy people. I pray, Lord, use us this morning to speak to the hearts of Thy people, Thy children. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 17, if you look back there for a second in verse 4, 5, and 6, there is another twig. This is the only two references to a twig in the whole Bible. Verse 4 said, he cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic and set it in a city of merchants. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field and placed it by great waters, as it were a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him, so it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. Well, that's not what it's supposed to be. See? It was supposed to have been a cedar tree. And it got planted by waters and all this, that, and the other, but somehow it got mingled or something messed up, and it comes out as not what they thought it was going to be when they planted it. And so in verse 22 through 24, God said, I'm going to take a twig and I'm going to plant it and it will come out like it's supposed to. Now I want to use those two verses as a pretext this morning to bring you a message. The message got almost nothing to do with the passage. I want you to understand that, so don't try to find a correlation. I just needed that for a springboard. Somebody say amen. But I want to talk to you, I'll bring you a little message this morning entitled, As the Twig is Bent, So Grows the Tree. Brother Lewis got a burden for our young people. And I have a burden for our young people. I look around all over the place and I see a whole generation of young people, two generations now really, that have turned from God and turned to the world, and their lives are all messed up, and they've gotten themselves into things and done things and been places and participated in stuff that's just left a terrible mark on them. And the tree is all twisted and bent and all but useless anymore. And that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And I look, we're losing our young people literally by the thousands. You go to most churches anymore, and all you got is a bunch of old fogies in there, and you wonder where the young people are. And the young people didn't get any support from school, and they didn't get much support from home, and they don't get much when they go to church. And so they follow the way of the world, and Christian families are losing their children just at an alarming rate. And so I want to bring you a little story here about as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. And I want to let those twigs, of course, represent children, young people. In the passage we just read there, of course, the twig there is a nation. It's the nation of Israel in verse 20 through 22. And so my analogy is not unscriptural. The twig represents something else. I just want to use it as an illustration and draw some parallels about this twig and young people. We say, so-and-so is a chip off the old block. He's a twig off the old stump. You know, there's all, a whole bunch of he's a twig off the original root. I've heard all kind of sayings, you know, and it's talking about children coming forth from mom and dad, and they have certain characteristics of their ancestors, their mom and dad, and they say, boy, he's just like your dad. He's a chip off the old block, you know. That apple didn't fall far from the tree. You've heard all those sayings, you know. And there's a lot of truth in that. And so I just want to use it as an illustration this morning because I see a whole generation of young people. They're going to turn into trees. They're going to grow up and mature and be adults. And they're going to be of no use to God and no use to mankind. They're going to live their life totally selfish, self-absorbed. They're not going to make a contribution to humanity or to society or to family or anybody else because they are so absorbed with nothing but themselves. So I want to talk to you about twigs. I looked in the dictionary to find out what a twig was. And sometimes a twig is a sprig. And sometimes a sprig is a twig. I thought, well, that's helpful. But basically what a twig is, it's just a little shoot or a little branch or a little sprig of an existing plant. My grandmother Hensley and my grandmother Calvert, my mom's mom was Calvert, my dad's mom was a Hensley, if y'all figure that out. But they were poor old ladies, you know, I mean, they grew up poor, and you didn't go down to the greenhouse and buy nothing. And they both liked to raise flowers and stuff. And so they would get a twig. They'd go visit somebody, and they'd get a little cutting, just a little twig off of it, and they'd take it back and put it in a jar and put some water in it and root it. And the end would grow roots and stuff, and when it get to a certain size, some magical formula, they knew when that was. And they would plant that thing, and my grandmother would take them out and set them on the banister of the front porch during the day and take them back in at night until they got good and rooted. And she could make anything grow. My grandmother Calvert could make anything grow. My grandmother Hensley could make anything grow. My mama killed everything she ever planted. If you wanted to die, give it to my mama. Anyway, they'd take them little twigs and they'd work with them things. And they'd pot it and put it in the right kind of soil. And they watered it and put the coffee grounds and stuff on it, what all they did to it, you know. And the next summer, that thing, you go out there and here'd be this big old beautiful flower. And it all came from this little twig. You ever been out in the woods? Now, I want you all to bear with me for a few minutes. You ever been out in the woods and you just notice that here's a tree. Maybe it's growing out of a bank or something. I saw up in Mount Mitchell one time. We were up there on that river that comes out of Dollywood. What's the name of it? Pigeon River. And there's a lot of rock and stuff, and it's real hilly. And this tree came out, and it came out of the side of the hill, and it came out just like this, almost 90 degrees to the ground. And then it turned and went up. But it didn't go straight up. It leaned. It kind of like that. And it was all twisted. So I don't know how old the tree was. Pretty good size, but it ain't going to be good for nothing, see, because it's all bent, and you can't get an 8-foot board out of it because it's all twisted and stuff. And you see a lot of trees like that. You go down through there, and there was a laurel thicket. And all them trees that tried to grow up in the midst of that laurel got all stunted. The laurel kind of choked them out. They didn't get enough nutrients. They didn't get enough sunlight, this, that, and the other. And all them trees are, they're grown, but you're not ever going to be able to do anything with them because they got stunted and they're twisted and they're all gnarly. And they're there, but they just ain't good for nothing. And we're driving down the road, and here's this big field of pine. I don't know, must have been acres and acres. And it looked like every tree in it was just straight up, just like that. I mean, just big and strong and pretty. And I thought, what's the difference? Why are these trees so twisted and bent and worthless, and these trees are so tall and strong, and somebody's going to come in here one of these days and harvest those things and make a lot of money off of them because they're valuable. You can make lumber out of them. You can make paper out of them. So what's the difference? Here's what the difference is. The difference is in the things that put pressure on the trees to bend them when they were twigs. Now, I've observed this. You ever see anybody plant a little shrub or a flower or something, and they put it in a box, and they put it in the window on the back of the house? And it grows up, and it flowers, but if you go around there and look at it, that thing comes up out of that box, and it does like this. They don't go straight up. They kind of come up, and they bend. Now, some guy's got a flower box in the front yard and got little bricks around it, or maybe some of them post things, I don't know what's called, 4x4 things, you know, make a little flower box out. And you go out there, and here's the same plant, and it's just growing straight up like that, just pretty as you please. But here's this one, and it's growing, but it ain't straight. It's bent. And it's kind of, you know, it's not like it's just laying down and shooting straight out like that. It's twisted. It's no good for anything. But here's that one straight up. Now, what's the difference? Pressure. The pressure of the sun. You see, all them plants are looking for that sunlight. So, and if you watch plants, they will bend to go where the sun is at. You take a plant and put it on the front of your house, and it only gets sun like 2 hours in the morning. And you plant it, and it'll be bent like that. And then the sun goes away, and so the flower stays right there. The house is in the way, so it doesn't get any sun in the evening. It only gets sun in the morning. So it bends toward light, right? Then the light disappears. So the plant stays like that. Now you dig that thing up and turn it around so that it's leaning this way. But it's in the same spot, and the house is still right here. In a couple of days, you'll notice that thing will be just like this. It bent to go where the pressure from the light is. The light pulled it. It bends to go to the light. Now, so here's one that's all bent and curved and worthless. Here's that other one straight up. So what's the difference? This one out here gets that morning sun. That sun comes up. And that thing kind of goes like this to meet the sun. And the sun goes like that. And that thing goes with it. And then that thing's right here. And that sun goes down. And it just pulls it right back up like that. It gets sun from here. And it gets sun from here. And so it balances it out. And that thing grows up straight. If it only got sun from one side, it'll be bent where the light's at. Got it? So what's the secret to getting a straight plant? Got to have balance. Got to have balance. You know what's missing in our society for our young people? There ain't no balance. There's no balance. Everything in our society is geared toward the world and the things of the world and pleasure and having fun and entertainment and me. And there's no light from the sun. We don't give them any religious training. We don't give them any religious instruction. There's no God at school, and there's not much God at home. And in most churches, there's not much God there. And you wonder why they get bent and twisted, and they're not any good for anything. You want to know why they end up on dope and being immoral and all this, that, and the other? Because the twig got bent. If we're taking care of the twig and kept the twig up straight, the tree would have been straight. You know why young people turn into bad adults? Because we didn't take care of them when they were twigs. That's why. I have a bunch of stuff here. Not twigs. Number one, every twig Every twig is different. Every twig just like your fingerprint. Ain't no two fingerprints the same. Ain't no two twigs the same. Ain't no two people in this room the same. Nobody in here has got two children just alike. You ever heard people say, I don't know how in the world them children could be so different. They got the same mom and daddy and they grew up in the same house. I tell you why, they different twigs. So why is he like that and this one is so good and so proper and this one over here is just worthless? They got the same mom and daddy. What happened? Well, they might have had the same mom and daddy. So they might have been, come off the same root. But the twig itself is different. So why is that important? You need to understand that because you can't blame mom and daddy for what the twig does. You can't blame mom and daddy for how the twig turns out. Now, I'm going to blame mom and daddy for a bunch of stuff in a minute. But ultimately, the twig is responsible for the twig. Amen? Now, every twig is different. The reason I emphasize that and mention that is you have to look and see what kind of twig you got. And then take care of it according to the twig you're working on. The gardener, the caretaker, like Adam back over in the Garden of Eden, he was to prune and take care of the garden. See? And so when you look down there and you see them little twigs, you say, well, now this is a spruce twig, and that's an oak twig, and that's a maple twig, and this is a water oak and a live oak and a twisted oak. They all require different things. They take different nourishment. They take different amount of attention. They take a different kind of soil. You have to have kind of different kind of nutrients in it. You can't lay down one rule that will cover every twig. Amen? I hear mamas and daddies all the time say, well, we treat all our kids just alike. Well, you just plain stupid. Because your kids ain't alike. Some of them got ambition, some of them don't. Some of them smart and some of them ain't. Some of them got talent, some of them don't. Some of them got character and some of them don't. You better figure out what kind of twig you got and work with it as an individual. You try to lump them all together and say, well, we're going to treat them all exactly the same in every circumstance. Some of them twigs will get bent and they won't be worth a hoot. Amen. You better remember, every one of your children's different. You say, well, if I do this or that one, I got to do the same thing. Not necessarily. Get off that nonsense. Use your head a little bit. The children are different. Deal with them different. Not only are all twigs different, you need to remember that all twigs are tender. I don't care what kind of twig it is, you can ruin it in a second. You can bruise a twig. I remember one time, I was maybe 13 or 14. I was at Grandmother Hensley, and she had these little peas that she had planted. And they were, the dirt they were in looked like red mud to me. And it was hard as a rock, just old red, dried dirt. Here's this little green pea. Things sticking up there about that far. This little green sprout, and it's got two little leaf things on it. And it's about that high up out of the dirt. And I thought, how in the world could that tender little plant, I mean, if you squeeze it like that, you just crush it. I mean, the least little thing and you bruise it. I could take my fingernails and just pinch it right in two. Yet somehow that thing was strong enough from underneath that dirt to crack that dirt and push it out of the way and stick its little head up and look for the sun and climb to where the sun was. I used to think it was the most amazing thing. That is so amazing. Hear that little old tender thing? Anything would hurt it. Anything would bruise it. Yet it's got strength inside of it. It's seeking the right thing. It wants to get its head up. It wants to find the sun. But man,
You could reach over there and take that dirt that it just pushed up out of the way and do like that, and that thing would just fall right over. It is so tender. And you know, it doesn't make any difference what kind of twig you got. They are so delicate. The least little mishandling, and you ruin it. You can bruise it so that it never, ever recovers from the injury. That's the reason that you have to be so careful in raising children. You can't just lump them all together because they have different sensibilities. They have different personalities. They have different needs. I've got 6 grandchildren, 3 that live down here. And they come over most Friday evenings and spend the night. And they got the same mom and the same daddy, but those 3 kids are as different as day and night. Now, they got a lot of similarities. They all 3 smart. They all 3 pretty. They all 3 got talent. They got all that from their granddaddy. But man, they got different characteristics and different traits. And if you treated them all the same, one of them would be wounded. You can't snap and snarl at all of them. You know, there's some kids you can holler at and they're just impervious. I mean, it's like water off a dustbin. They just don't give a rip. And some, you snap at them like that. Boy, you hurt their sensibilities. They're offended. And it takes forever for them to recover from that. Amen? Say why? Because those little twigs are delicate. They're tender. And you've got to have enough common sense to know how to take care of them without bruising them and beating them up. You leave marks on them that will be there forever and ever and ever. They may grow on up and survive the thing, but there's going to be a scar, there's going to be a deformity in the trunk of that tree because when it was a twig, it was deformed because somebody mishandled it. I think that's what divorce does to a lot of young people. It puts a mark on them they never get over. Now, every twig is different. Every twig is delicate. Every twig is tender. But did you ever notice that every twig, I don't care what it comes from, doesn't make any difference. Every twig seeks the same thing. Every twig in the world wants to stick its little head up and see the sun. There's just something in that twig that makes it gravitate toward that light. Isn't that amazing? I don't care if it's a little sprig of corn or a little patch of peas or a little twig of an oak tree. It doesn't make any difference. The first thing they do when they get their head stuck up out of the ground is they look for that sun. Now, you know I've got to take an opportunity here. Every little young'un I've ever run across in my life, if you watch them, if you take care of them, if you nurture them, there's a point in time when that little sucker has got a hunger for God. You can talk to children of God that they haven't been misused yet, they haven't been abused yet, that there's an opportunity there when it's just a twig, that it's looking for light, its little heart is open, its conscience is pure. And if you'll turn the light of the gospel on, every last one of them will respond to it. You know what we do? We don't turn the light on for them. That's what we do. We don't turn the light on. We don't help them. That little twig gets its head up there, and you want to take them to Sunday school, take them to church, this, that, and the other, and they're excited. They like it. They love it. And mom and daddy are too lazy to go, and mom and daddy are indifferent, and pretty soon that little twig is bent, that little twig is twisted, and no longer is it interested. And now you can talk to them about church and God, and they don't care anymore. They're not interested anymore. Now whose fault is that?
So why do we lose so many of our young people to the world? Because the forces that are trying to bend them are not equal. You got a world out here that's hell-bent on bending our little twigs their way. They do everything they can. They start, and you know, the world's not near as stupid as most Christians. The world knows that if you want them to think like they want them to think, if you want them to adopt your philosophy, if you want them to have your lifestyle, if you want them to have your values, you've got to start when they're little twigs. Do you know why we went from first grade to kindergarten to, what is it now, K-4 and K-5? It just now they're in school when they're 4 years old. The Catholics used to say, give us your children until they're 7 and they will die Catholics. See why? Because they knew how to bend the twig. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Amen? And so, we put our kids that we want to be Christian, we want them to love God, we want them to have value, we want them to have character, then we put them in a Philistine educational institution and wonder why they turn out like Philistines. Because we ain't got the sense God gave a brass monkey. That's why. Amen. We take that little delicate twig. Anything and everything can influence it. Anything and everything can bend it this way and bend it that way. And we put it in a world designed to bend it their way. And then we wonder why it didn't get bent our way. Well, because it had 8 hours of school, 5 days a week from the time it was 4 years old, telling it's okay to be homosexual. You don't need to be married to have sex. That drinking is okay in moderation. Right and wrong is relevant. It all depends. Amen. And then we wonder why our trees grow up all bent and twisted and they're not any good for anything. How about let's put some pressure on the twig to bend it this way? You know what I saw a while back? I'm coming down the road. Y'all got to be as sick as I am to think about the things I think about. I'm coming down the road, and this guy's got this line of what's them apple tree? Bread for pears. That's it. Thank you. My wife is so smart. She always knows just what I'm thinking. A lot of times before I do. But this guy had this whole big line of bread for pears, and they just planted them. And they had just come in there and they were putting in a housing development and it had all the dirt was all tore up and so there wasn't any consistency to it. So this guy came in there and he got this whole line of bread prepared. They all looked just alike. Little tiny ones. But he came in there and he drove some stakes in the ground and he put a wire around that tree and hooked it on that stake and then he put one over here and he put one over there and he tightened them things up so that tree stood just like that. See what he did? He put equal pressure on every side. So that tree didn't have any choice but to stand straight. Amen? We got mamas and daddies that want their kids to turn out right, want them to be productive, want them to be honest, want them to have character, want them to have integrity. They want all the right things for them, but they won't put any pressure on them to make sure that they get bent in the right direction. Oh, it's too hard. Well, they're not interested. They just don't want... I don't care what they want. I don't care where they're interested. I'm the caregiver. I'm the caretaker. They're in my garden. They're my responsibility. And by the grace of Almighty God, I'm going to put pressure on them to make sure they get bent toward the sun. The S-O-N. The very idea of leaving it up to young people to do what they want to do and go where they want to go. And be friends with who they want to be friends with. Do you know what no way in hell means? Y'all understand that? Some of y'all get offended because I cuss in the pulpit. And don't make me mad, I'll cuss more.
Somebody ought to get mad about the way our children are going to hell. Somebody ought to get mad about how many boys and girls out of Baptist churches end up with illegitimate children. How many of them end up with on alcohol? How many of them end up in drugs? How many of them end up in trouble with the law? Right out of a Baptist church. How does that happen? That's because the church was there, but it didn't put any pressure on them. We didn't bend the twig. What can be done? I'm glad you asked me that. The caretaker of the garden, the one charged with the responsibility of the twigs, has got to give constant watch care to the twig. That means mamas and daddies actually have to spend time with their children. They have to actually get to know them. That means you have to eat dinner with them in the evenings. And you have to turn the TV and the stereo off while you're doing it. Well, God, preacher, if we do that, there wouldn't be nothing left to do but talk to each other. I'll be a son of God. That's a radical concept. Well, our schedules are so we just never are at home together. Then rearrange your schedule. Now maybe you don't get to eat breakfast together and you don't get to eat lunch together. You better eat dinner together. You better do something. You better have some family time. You better have some time to talk. You know, I was over in Europe a few years ago. I took a bunch of men on a retreat. And we went up to this hotel in up on this island. And had all these Europeans over there. And don't ever do that, by the way, because they don't feed you enough. You'll starve to death. They ain't learned about to biggie size nothing. Man, it was bad. We had to go in town and buy old hard bread and cheese to survive because the meals they gave us, I mean, it would have kept a dog alive. But I was watching them Europeans. And they come out there, and here'd be the whole family, a mama and a daddy, maybe a grandma and a grandpa, five or six young'uns, a couple of there'd be 10 or 12 of them sometimes at the table. And they take 4 hours to eat dinner. So that's more time than we take in a week. We can go to a nice restaurant and have a nice leisurely dinner and be through in 20 minutes. We want to go in and eat and get out. Well, they go in, and they went. I watched them. They went right around the table. Everybody getting his turn to talk. I thought, now that's a great tradition. Mama and daddy honestly know from the mouth of their own children what they're interested in. What they like and what they don't like. Where they're going, who they're seeing. Gosh, I mean, if you actually got to know them, you might could steer them a little. You might could put a little pressure on them to go this way or that way. But if you don't ever see them, if you don't ever talk to them, you ain't ever going to influence them either. Amen. the caregiver, the one who takes care of the garden, has got to spend some time inspecting the twigs and learning about the twigs. You've got to give them constant watch care or the twig will get bent in the wrong direction. Not only that, it's necessary to make adjustments as necessary to keep the twig up straight. Remember them Bradford Parish I was telling you about? Do you know what happened in Bradford Parish? That guy had, I mean, there's a whole line of them down through there, and he's got these wires on them. He's got them all straight, and they're all standing up nice and straight, and they look really good. And they stayed that way for a long time. And I went down through there one day, and I noticed there was two of them trees right at the end of the row that was kind of laid over and tilted. I thought, what happened? So that afternoon when I came back by there, I go right by these trees every day. When I come back by, I figured it out. It had rained and we had a storm. The ground got soft the wind was blowing, and those trees right on the end were exposed to the force of that wind, and the wind and the soft ground gave way, and the twigs shifted. So now what that guy had to do was come back out there and straighten them trees back up and put them stakes back in the ground and readjust them. You see, the things you put in place when they're 3, 4, 5 years old are going to have to be adjusted when they're 8, 9, and 10 years old. And when you put them things in place when they're 8, 9, and 10, you're going to have to come back when they're 13, 14, and 15 and adjust them a little bit. Amen? Say why? Because we want to keep the twigs straight up. We don't want it to get twisted. We don't want it to get bent. We want the twig to grow straight and strong. Which means we got to watch out for it. And when we see it going one way, we say, oop, can't go that way. Let's make a little adjustment. Let's fix that thing. What are you saying? I'm saying it takes a lot of time and energy, a lot of prayer, a lot of hard work to be a good parent. It's not just like raising a dog. You don't just feed them and let them go. Bless be God to be a good mama and a good daddy and to raise a twig up straight and strong and have it reach for the sun. You got to work on it and work with it. That's a lot of work, preacher. Yeah, but let me tell you, they're worth it. They're worth it. They're worth it. I'll tell you something else. If you want that twig to grow straight and strong, you have to keep undesirable weeds and bushes at a safe distance. So you know, you go out here and you pants your little pine sprig, twig. And it's just, they just flop you, the wind blows them all over the place. You plant it right and fix it right, and it's growing nice and straight. But you let a bunch of shrubs and stuff get in there, briars and stuff, and it'll choke that thing out. Now that pine sprig wants to live, so it will bend and twist to get around whatever's putting pressure on it to get its head back up. So those bushes and those vines and those briars that you let grow up right against it are going to put pressure on it and bend it and twist it from the straight up. So if you want that thing to stay straight and strong, you have to keep all the garbage, you have to keep all the brush and the briars and that kind of stuff, you got to keep them back out of the way so this thing can get the nutrients and so it can grow straight up so it can reach for the sun. See what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. In your children's lives, in the lives of our children, our grandchildren, we've got to keep them undesirables away from them. I'm serious as a heart attack, son. If my little girl, my little boy, wanted to have a friend or a buddy or an acquaintance or an association, and I find anything about them I don't like. They got an attitude. They're sleazy. They're lazy. They're shiftless looking. They dress too worldly. They don't have good manners, son. Guess what? I'm going to cut that little bush down. I'm going to get that little briar. I'm going to throw that thing out. I said, why? Because this twig's going to grow up straight and strong. That's why. I heard people say, well, you can't tell them who their friend is going to be. How do you know? You ever try? I guarantee you, my kids never had a friend I couldn't run off. I never had many myself. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about twigs. Letting that twig turn into a tree. And that tree being straight and strong, useful, good for something. Fulfill its purpose. Have that tree grow up straight and strong and its top reach toward the sun. I would consider all my children and all my grandchildren successes if they grow up, if they don't have to make any money, they don't have to be famous, they don't have to be rich. If my kids and my grandkids would grow up and be men and women of character and reach for the sun, if they'd love God, that's all I ever wanted. That's all I ever wanted. I don't care what else they do. I don't care if they're doctors or lawyers or Indian chiefs. Well, lawyer sign. Just then what I'm saying. What's important? is the quality of the tree that came from the twig. And we can't get useful men and women. We can't get men and women of character. We can't have Christian men and women if we don't take them when they're twigs and mold them and shape them and grow them and let them develop into strong, straight trees. You can never forget that as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Let's bow your head. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. Lord God, we have such an awesome, awesome responsibility, such an awesome, awesome opportunity to reach young people for God, to take them while they're tender and delicate, and help to mold and to shape and direct the course of their development, the course of their life, to point them to the Son of God. Lord, I pray, help us not to fail in our duty. Help us not to miss this opportunity. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.